Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
welcome everybody to another episode of Unmasked with authoress Terry Lau, myself. But tonight we're going to have a great show. But that song, if you're interested, was a new song by this guy from Birmingham, Alabama, named Leon Bridges. That song was called Beyond. And we have a special guest tonight, but before we bring her on, I just want to give kudos to all my listeners around the globe. I want to start with the United States. I thank them for listening in. France, Germany, Senegal, Australia, the UK, Canada, Nigeria, Cameroon, Africa, Singapore, Japan, Pakistan, Iraq, Peru, Russia, India, Netherlands, Indonesia, Portugal, St. Vincent, and the Grenadine Islands. I got a little tongue twister right there, but I thank all my listeners for tuning in each Friday and tell your friends to follow me and listen to me. And we have some dynamic shows, but our guest tonight, Danielle, is going to be talking about abuse and how she started this foundation about Don't Be Quiet. But before I do that, I want to let my co-host, Mark, Chris, say hello. Hello, Mark. Hello, Chris.
Hi there.
How you doing, Chris?
Hello, Cameroon, Africa.
Pretty good. Hello.
Yeah, Cameroon, Africa, how y'all doing? All everywhere. But tonight will be a difficult show to hear, but it must be discussed. Thankfully, everyone has either been a victim of child or adult abuse or exposed to it by someone that they know. So this topic is continually growing at an alarming rate, and Danielle Seck will share her story about her passion and her drive and motivation to be the strong woman that formed the Don't Be Quiet Foundation. So please tell all your male and female associates that this is a must-listen-to show so that you will find valuable information on what to do and what needs to be done if you're a victim or abuser, because there's help out there. You know, so don't think that, you know, you're all alone. And if you want to make a comment, hit the number 1 key. Just dial in 347-945-6003. Hit the 1 key, and I will unmute your mic. But right now, I want to welcome my special guest, Danielle. How you doing, Danielle?
I am doing amazing. So glad to be on with you guys.
That's good. That's
good. Hi, Danielle.
Hello.
Well, we're going to start with Mark and let him ask this question, and then we'll get to Chris.
Yeah, you know I'm always chomping at the bit, Miss Terry.
I know that's right, baby, but go ahead and chop.
We're so happy to have you on the show, Danielle, and share your harrowing story of growing up in an abusive household where you were beaten and forced to go to bed without food. That must have been such a terrible time for you. I'm so glad you came through it and have become a strong advocate for women and children who face the same issues. My question is, are you now working for CASA, the agency that helped you so much then?
Yes. I have taken a short break with them because I was filming my docudrama. So I took a small break with them just so that I can concentrate on that and get that, you know, going. But I'll be picking back up them in the first, you know, during the springtime. So really excited about that.
Tell us a little bit about – oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's
go
okay.
Ahead.
I'm sorry. Really excited about working with them because it's full circle for me. They helped me when I was – a child going through abuse. CASA stands for Court Appointed Special Advocate, and they're all over the United States in every county. And basically what we do is we're the voice for the children in the courts. So when a child is pulled from their home because of abuse, then we are there to help them go through the court system. We're the voice for them. So wherever we feel is best for them to move who's best to live with. And as I said, it's full circle for me to assist them because they helped me when I was a child. I remember we're called guardian ad litem. I remember my guardian ad litem being there for me in the courtroom. I'm truly honored. I got sworn in November 2016, and just truly honored.
Oh, congratulations!
Thank you.
Okay, well,
it must have been hard to go through the courtroom. You know, when you had to go to court
as a child to testify? And they helped you through that, yes, too?
Yes, yes. So every time you go to court, a guardian ad litem is there, because it is very hard to be a child and you're in this courtroom, you know, looking at other adults basically that are making a decision for your life, and you don't understand that at the time. But it's overwhelming, you know, as a child to deal with that. So, you know, I feel like I'm one of the best candidates to do this, you know, to be able to assist children now, because I definitely understand what they're going through. You know, funny story, but not funny, but it is funny. You know, I was in the courts every day, like every week for a while. And then, and this was just going through different custody battles. You know, my parents were fighting over custody. And, you know, my mom wasn't fighting to keep me. It was different things such as child support. You know, my dad was paying child support. And then my mom wanted child support even though I wasn't living with her. And we were just constantly at the courthouse. Did not stop going to the courthouse until I was in the sixth grade. So I recall being in the courthouse one day, and we were going up the elevator. And if you ever in, I'm not sure how this is all over the world, but, you know, in Columbus, Ohio, the every floor, they would tell you what floor or what you could find on each floor. So if it's, you know, domestic relations, if it's what part of the municipal court, every single floor, it would announce it. So I recall us being in the elevator one day. We were at the courthouse so much that I knew what every floor was. And I was in the we were in the elevator, and I was reciting it. So every time we stopped and the doors would open, I would say what floor we were on. And I recall an adult laughing, like, oh, isn't that so cute? As an adult now, when I think back on that memory, I'm like, that is not cute. That's how much I was at the courthouse that I knew every single floor, all the way up into the 15th floor. Now, what happened after the 15th floor, I can't tell you. But I knew up to the 15th floor, every single floor. And, you know, you may say, oh, you know, that's minute, but that's how often I was there.
Wow.
Chris, it's time for you to ask your question, darling.
Oh, okay. I couldn't hear anything on my end. My apologies, I guess. But my question is, Danielle, for people who don't know your story, can you kind of condense it, like give us a Reader's Digest version of your story?
Definitely. So I'm a survivor of child abuse and domestic violence, sexual assault, and suicide. I was assaulted by the hands of my mother and her boyfriend. I was taken out of the home of my mother when I was five. And went to stay with my dad. You know, any children's services, they try to place you with a family member. And because I already had a relationship with my father, I would see him every other weekend. Then they put me in foster system for a little while, but then my dad received custody of me. I lived with my dad until I turned 18. I went from physical abuse with my mother to then verbal abuse and emotional abuse with my father. My father was married. I mean, he still is married to the same woman. And I went through a lot of emotional abuse. Some things that I can recall is, you know, just being told, you know, my parents fought all the time in the court system, as I stated. And my dad would tell me a lot of times, you're just like your mother. Well, I heard you talk about my mom all day and all night and, you know, how she isn't this, you know, wonderful person. You can't stand her and so forth and so on. So when I hear you tell me I'm just like my mother, you say it in a negative tone, then I must be a horrible person as well. So I lived with that, you know, until my adulthood. After moving out of my parents' home, when I was 29, I was in a relationship. There was domestic violence. He hit me one time, and I left. You know, arguing started, of course. It started with arguments and led to him hitting me one time, and I left, never returned to go back. So I had this cycle where I went from physical abuse to emotional abuse. Then I get in my adulthood, I go through physical abuse, and then later I get married in 2014. And I just divorced my ex-husband. I went through emotional abuse and verbal abuse again. There was a cycle that I was going through that I realized I needed to break. I went back into counseling and realized this cycle. You know, a lot of times when you can realize what you're going through and identify what it is, you're able to break free from it. But when you're in the cycle and you don't understand what the cycle is, you continue the cycle.
Well, you know, Danielle, quite a step. You know, you being abused, that is nothing that is new, and that's sad because I've been exposed to that. And I think everybody you talk to, one in three people can say they were a product of being in an abusive relationship, whether it's emotional or physical. But everyone has seen it with someone.
Mm-hmm.
And what's so sad about that is that a lot of people, because a lot of women think that if they got children and they don't have a job, then the man who's providing and abusing them, they got to stay because they feel like there's no
mm-hmm.
hope. But, you know, anybody out there listening, just go to the front page of your Yellow Pages. If you don't have a phone directory, then dial 0, dial 411, and say, look, I'm abused. I need help. They will have places you can go where people cannot know that location. They will get you back on your feet. They will take care of you and your family. There is hope. Don't ever feel like because you don't have a job or you don't have no money or you got a bunch of kids that you're trapped. No, because you don't want your kids to see that, because it become a vicious cycle. Just like you was abused since the age of 5.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you married a man that was crazy, because that's what you was familiar with. And people don't realize
mm-hmm.
that you can break that cycle, and we need to.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say as well, Danielle, there are men out there being abused, and a lot of men don't want to say nothing because they're afraid that
mm-hmm.
look at them like, I'm a man, you let some woman beat you up or whatever. Well, we got some Amazon chicks out there, some hardcore women, and we got some quiet men, you know, peaceful men who ain't
mm-hmm.
about all that rhetoric, and they can be taken advantage of. So, you know, whoever you are, male or female, seek some help. But on that note,
yeah.
Danielle, we got to take a little small break, and we'll be back in 2 and 2.
Eventually, the truth will come out of the darkness for everyone to see.
Hello? Hey, it's Mike. Hey, how y'all doing? Oh, yeah, everything's good. It's just been really good. Sorry I haven't been there this week. Yeah, I forgot, but I will be there next week. Right now.
There are times in your life when your faith will be challenged.
Hey man, I want to share something with you. I accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He's been really wonderful to me. Don't you agree?
I feel like I'm my own God. But things that's been happening to me, I feel like I've been making those things happen.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me you don't believe in God?
Well, I haven't seen him.
The truth can come in shocking form.
Nobody up in my house when I'm at work all day, going day.
No! No! Who is this? Why is he in my house?
Jesus. Who are you, man?
Is this your mom? Who are you? Mother, this is my woman and this is my house!
Oh, my
girlfriend. Why is he in this house? What do you mean you didn't know?
When the secret is no longer hidden, you have now been exposed. Written by authoress Terry E. Lyle. Check out her website and on Blog Talk Radio every Friday at 7:30 p.m.
Hello.
Well, everybody, that tune went way back into time with Donny Hathaway this Christmas. And I just want to say, you know, the people will be honest, you know, they can. Everybody got a story about somebody who was abused. Now, I have a story as well because my mother was married more than one time, and one of her ex-husbands was a real knucklehead. He would abuse her, and then I was telling him to fight me because all she would do was sing gospel. She wouldn't fight back. And I guess my siblings were afraid, you know. So many times I was running out the house to neighbors' houses and asking them to call the police, and then I had to get to the point they got tired of coming. I had to say that he had a gun to get them to respond. I remember many days sitting in a courthouse, and they just disregarded it because being black, they said, oh, that's domestic abuse. They didn't care. And living in Baltimore at the time, we were still dealing with racism, and it was like in your face, you know. And so when black people complain about being beat up or whatever, they didn't do anything. And then when I got to California, I met this guy. He was crazy, you know. It's in my book, Broken. Man, this guy, we was living together, and he was just so jealous. You know, he was an alcoholic. And one time he just, you know, just started assuming that when I put eyeliner on, that I'm trying to pick up somebody. This guy, he took and broke the phone like a mobile. He glued the door frame of the door, so when he went out to work, I couldn't open the door from inside the house. I had to jump out in the damn bushes, you know, to escape, run to my damn car. The tires are flat, steering wheel's gone, ain't no wires under the hood. I mean, crazy, crazy, crazy shit, you know. And that's a thing that today, I went to a place called House of Ruth. They got me back to being safe. So I know there's places out there, you know, but a lot of time it's people's pride. They don't want nobody to know they've been through some stuff, because if you've always been a strong individual and you had it always together, you don't want nobody to know shit's happening. But, you know, when shit happens, you got to do something. Damn the pride, you got to do something, because what I learned about that is that I only have one life, and life is precious. All those things, like materialistic things that I owned, and I'm not going to let somebody take them from me, that don't mean jack, because my life is more important. So I'm just saying that anybody out there listening, man, this is some real stuff, man. Forget your pride. You got to try to keep living. You got to go into survival mode. You got to be honest with yourself. If you see somebody else hurting, open up your damn door. I mean, give them a blanket. Let them sleep on the floor. Help somebody, because we got to take back what people are robbing from us. And even though I know all this stuff and went through that little psychological stuff and everything, that's the reason now that I'm hard on the guy. I just have trust issues that, yeah, I give up my love and affection, and you're going to come around and first start with being me, and then next thing you know, you're going to try, you know, put your hands on me. So, you know, I got an issue with trust, so maybe that's why I'm still single. But, you know, I'm working on it, but it's not an easy road. But I know one thing, I ain't going down with a fight. Put your damn hands on me. We going toe for toe. I'm just saying, you know. And on that note, I'm going to let Mark.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go toe to toe.
I'm right, you know. We're going there, so all right, Mark. It's time, baby.
Well, you know, Terry, you kind of took the question out. You know, you kind of stole it from me, because my question was going to be, as a strong black woman now, how do you learn to trust men again, and what are some of the red flags you look for when you enter into a new relationship, Danielle?
Danielle, he asking you the question.
Yes.
Danielle.
Yes, I'm so sorry. You know, I thought going through this divorce that I would be bitter. I've had some friends that have gone through a divorce, and I've seen people be bitter afterwards, and I really prayed that that would not be me. And I can honestly say that, you know, it's been a year and a half, and I'm not bitter. It still hurts, because that wasn't my plan. You know, I didn't walk down the aisle and say, I do for a little while. You know, I said, I do forever, you know, till death do us part. You know, so that part of it hurts. But when I think about the freedom that I have now, you know, just having the courage to leave, you know, number one, that's amazing, you know, because, like, as you stated, Terry, that so many people stay because of status, you know, they don't want to leave, you know, their homes that they may have. You know, they don't want to go to a shelter and, you know, so forth, you know, and I definitely understand that. You know, I myself have never been in a shelter, so I can't imagine it. So I definitely understand. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying I definitely get it. I understand it. And that's definitely why I'm working on getting my foundation together to get housing for those that have been abused, working on getting an apartment building for this very reason of this discussion. So, anywho, when I'm now honest with the red flags, though, because now I realize I will be 40 in 23 days. And so that means I'm not getting any younger. That means my age is going higher. I don't have time for the games any longer for myself nor for anybody else. Most importantly, I have a 16-year-old daughter that is looking at me saying, well, looking at me for instructions. You know, when I first separated with my ex from my ex-husband, she started talking about she never wanted to be married. And that was from a result from my marriage. And that made me cry a lot of times because my daughter is so loving. She's so giving. She's so compassionate. And I know that she'll be an amazing wife. Well, I don't want to share my home with anybody. I don't want to see the same thing happen to me. That hurt to know that what I did affected her or what I let happen affected her. So I'm a lot more, you know, I look at red flags. If I'm not vibing with you, I'm just not vibing with you. I really don't care how handsome you are. I really don't care how you're packaged. If I'm not vibing with you, I can't do it. You know, I wrote my book while I was married, and my ex-husband knew that I was writing the book. He knew what I aspired to do, which is to speak. You know, go around and speak and help people. And I tell you, he started getting jealous, and it was always whenever I talked about my story, he would get agitated. And it was like, why are you still talking about that? Because people are still going through abuse. That's why. You know, and he would get embarrassed about my story. I'm like, this happened to me when I was a kid. You know, why are you embarrassed of me talking about being abused, you know, as a child? And so that was very hard. So realizing that I cannot be with someone that, number one, is ashamed of my story, is not comfortable with me sharing my story, and doesn't push me to continue to be what I know I'm to be. You know, I went through my purpose, which is Don't Be Quiet, which is speaking, which is my book. It was birthed out of my pain, you know, and, you know, that's usually how it happens. Your purpose comes out of your pain. And, you know, I'm honored that Don't Be Quiet got started while I was with my ex-husband. That's how I got out of my relationship, actually. Doing research on those that are being abused and realizing it's not always physical. You know, when people hear of domestic violence, they always think of the physical side. You know, there's so many different aspects of abuse. There's verbal, there's mental, there's emotional, there's financial. You know, and when I started researching these things, I said, wow, I'm in an abusive relationship. When I started researching, I started going to counseling, and that gave me the strength to get out. So that's why I say a lot of times when you real.
I'm going to say this. I know you said that you didn't have any issues just getting out, and Mark asked the question, how do a strong black woman get past the abuse? Now, for me, what it's going to take for me, because I do have trust issues, it's going to take a mature man that has seen life, been through some shit, some hurt himself, that he can hug me and love me through the pain because he know I've been damaged. Now, we all been damaged in some way, but I need that strong man. I don't need nobody trying to push up and trying to get up inside of anything. I found me a place to mooch off. No. I don't need nobody trying to come in here and live. I done raised my daughter. I don't need no mooches. I need a good man, a mature man. And it doesn't mean what age you are that, you know, you can love me past the pain, because you're wise enough to know that I've been through some stuff. And you're wise enough to know don't say triggers and stuff. But I'm just saying, you know, Everybody got their own thing, but I'm going to let Mark give his last comment, then I'm going to throw it over to Chris.
You know, but I also agree that, you know, one way that you get past that, because I've been there, is you yourself have to say, I'm willing to open up and I'm willing to allow love. Because when you have trust issues, you block people off. And you don't want to, my guard is up, you know, and you're not allowing different ones to penetrate that wall.
Look at when I open, when I close. I'm checking out that buster. I say, yeah, what you coming with? Yeah, I'm looking hard. But you know something? And everybody that I see that are good possibilities for me, they're in another state. My Bahama had to relocate, you know, to get to be with the person
I
used to be.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Because the people around here ain't doing nothing for me. But I'm going to let Mark have his question because Chris, he's wanting his time to talk. So, Mark, is there anything else you want to say, darling?
Yeah, I want, Danielle, you were removed from your home at a very young age and placed into foster care. When did you finally find peace and security in that process? Tell us about your experience with foster care.
Well, my foster care experience is a little different. So although I was under the foster system, I was still living with my dad because the first recourse is for you to go with a family member. You know, they want to keep you with the family, keep you with who you're familiar with. And so it just so happened I already had a relationship with my father, so I was back and forth. I was in my father's home. But I knew that it was temporary until they finally told me, oh, okay, we have custody of you. You know, living with my mom, I was always bounced around from house to house because my mom, you know, was doing her thing in the streets and just doing her thing. So I stayed with my auntie, I stayed with my grandma, you know, then I was with my dad. So I was always bouncing around. So I didn't feel secure until they literally said, you're going to live here from now on. Because even though although I was living with my dad, as soon as they took me out of the home, there was still this displaced feeling because I knew it wasn't permanent.
Wow.
And I didn't know where I was going to go. So once they finally said it was a couple of months later that I was finally able to, you know, stay with my dad permanently, there was some peace. There was definitely some peace.
Well, Chris, I know you got something important you want to ask our guests, so you go ahead, you know, and if you have any experience yourself with abuse, if you don't mind sharing it, I wish you would, because a lot of people don't believe that, you know, men has been exposed to the same kind of thing. There's some strong chicks out there, and there's some small guys out there, and some women like to put their hands on men, and some men are just not in their heart, their nature, because they was raised not to touch women, because that's the way I raised my grandsons, you know, and my daughter, she raised her kids that way. You don't touch a woman. So what does a child growing up to be a man to respect his queen, what does he do when that queen flips the hell out and say she's bipolar, whatever her excuses are, and put her hands on him, and he don't know how to tell nobody that he's getting his butt kicked every night because, oh, my God, he got too much pride. Let somebody know that I'm not running my household. But, you know, I'm just saying. So, Chris, you go ahead and ask the question.
All right. Yeah, first of all, I just want to say that I was abused as a kid by my grandmother's neighbor, and I didn't come to terms with it until I was a teenager, and that was around the same time I came out of the closet as a gay guy, so that was double depression for me. But my question for our guest is, when you was around all these abusive guys, you know, mentally abusive and physical abusive, did you fight back, or how did you handle being abused? Did you fight back? Did you blame yourself? I mean, what was that part like?
My domestic violence relationship that I was in, yes, we were breaking up, and we were still living in the home together, but we had broken up, and I had given him, you know, I was giving him time to get his own place. He was waiting on an apartment that he had got to open up, And so we were living together for a moment.
Girl, you better give me
so
this right away. Shoot, please.
I'm so sorry.
I said, Danielle, you better than me. If this guy was putting his hands on you, your ex-husband, and abusing you, ain't no, I'm going to let you stay here until your place comes. You get the hell out tonight. You know, huh? Kick this.
No, no, no.
I'm
sorry. No. This was we were, at this point, he had not put his hands on me yet.
Oh,
okay. So we broke up, but we were still living in the same home together. So it was a particular night I was going to a concert, and he, you know, sees me getting dressed and everything. He thinks I'm going on a date. I'm not. Mm-hmm. I'm literally going to a concert that we knew the person that was having the concert because we both were promoters. And he looks at me, no, you must be going on a date, and flips when the physical altercation happened. You know, he hit me. I go to the ground. He's strangling me. I really felt that I was going to die that night. And
did you fight back?
I know I did fight back, definitely. Definitely fought back. That's how I got away. There was knives. He took a knife out on me. I know it was nobody but God that got me out of that house because at the time I was just very, very small. And, I mean, he was, you know, 6'1", almost 300 pounds, and just, you know, he was just straight muscle. And I thought I was going to die. I really thought I was going to die that night. And so I get out of the house. I hit him with something that was on the floor. I, to this day, I can't even tell you what it was. I get out of the house, and I never went back. So it was one physical altercation, and that was it. Never went back. You know, but I do want to rewind a little bit because I knew something was brewing up between us, and it was so crazy. He was very controlling when it came to watching TV. I didn't work. He paid all the bills, and I didn't work. But we had a side business, which was promotions, and he wanted me to take care of that while I was home. So while I was doing that, he didn't want me watching TV. Well, I would watch TV, and I would make sure that it would, you know, I would have the TV off before he got home and everything. But this particular program came on one day, and I ended up watching it, and it gave me the seed to be able to get out of the house the way that I did. And one of the things that this guy instructed, car key and or your house key, or really both, and tie and put it on a pin, a safety pin, and pin it to the inside of your jeans, inside of your pants, on your panties, you know, whatever, where it can't be seen every single day. So you come into the, you get out of your car, you pin your key into your panties. And that's what saved my life. I did.
What does that do, real quick? What does that do? I don't understand. Pinning your keys.
So basically, when we got into our altercation, I ran out of the house and I was able to get my key. Because I left my key on me. I pinned it to my panties, and I was
able to get
away. Correct.
Oh, okay.
So you pin your car key. If you have a car key, you pin that to the inside of your pants or anything where it can't be seen. And the other thing I did was I hid a small bag that had some clothes in it, some shoes. I hid it inside of my trunk where in a small bag where my tire was, my spare tire. So
had
I had
a bag, bag just in case. Huh?
Yes.
Dang,
yep.
Girl.
Because things were
going
up.
Did the guy chase you out when you ran out the door? Did he chase you? Or was he out of breath?
Yes.
He couldn't chase you.
Well, I ended up seeing his face when I got in the car. Whatever I hit him with, I can't tell you what that was. Something that was on the floor near me, I hit him with it. I know he was stunned. I got up. I ran out of the house. When I got in my car, I could see him at the door and,
ooh,
you know, hollering and screaming after me and everything, you know, coming out the house. But I was able to get away. I went to a friend's house who he had no clue about this friend, no clue, had never met her. And I ended up staying with her for a couple of months because I ended up getting a job right before, like a week, not even a week before this happened. I ended up getting a job because, like I said, I didn't have to work with him. He paid for all the bills, but when we broke up, although we were still living in the same house, I said, well, I need a job. So a week prior to this, I got a job, and I was actually working for the government on the military base. So he wasn't allowed to come on the military base. You know, you have to have clearance.
Mm-hmm.
But he would be right outside across the street from the military base watching and waiting for me every day.
Oh,
so
wow.
It would take me about two and a half hours to get home every day because I'm trying to make sure he's not following me. You know, but thank God I had my clothes. I had, I had a set of clothes in the car. And I ended up going back to the house when I knew he wasn't there to get more of my stuff out. I
mm-hmm.
called the police and everything, had them meet me there. And this was my house he was in. And I left everything. I left, you know, whatever I could fit in my car is what I got out of there. And I was just like, you can have it, you know, furniture, everything. I literally left with the clothes on my back and an outfit in the trunk. That's it.
That's good because, you know, Danielle, at the end of the day, all you got is one life. So we're going to take a small
exactly.
break and we're gonna hang in there with us, darling.
I'll be here.
I first want to say before Danielle come back, I want to wish everyone a happy holiday season. For those that's grieving, my prayers going out for you and your family. For those that are alone, you know, and just feel like, what am I going to do? Sometimes just take and turn on some music, because music does soothe the soul. You know that somebody loves you. I don't care where you are, you know, but you can get through this. You know, a brand new year is coming and brand new opportunities. So I just want to say to people out there, hang in there. A new day is coming. Take one day at a time, one step at a time, and be like our guest Danielle. Don't be quiet. So she's a founder of that foundation, Don't Be Quiet. And she has been abused, and we know someone, you know, who has been abused. Everyone knows someone, if not been abused themselves. So, Danielle, real quick, can you tell everybody how to get a hold of you, how much your book costs, and what can they do? And with that note, I'm going to unmute her mic. So, Danielle, I'm sorry, Jordan.
That's okay. That's okay. I'm on social media, Instagram, and on Facebook under I Am Danielle G. Smith. I'm also have the movement on Instagram and Facebook, Don't Be Quiet in the number one. I am also on Twitter at I Am Danielle D. So that's definitely ways you can get in contact with me. My website is IamDanielleDSmith.com. I always tell people that, you know, it's an affirmation for me saying, always saying the statement, I am Danielle D. Smith, because a lot of times when you lose yourself, I'm big on affirmation, so I say it every single morning of saying who I am Danielle D. Smith. It's an affirmation for me. So that's the ways you can get in touch with me. My book is on there as well. My book is called Yesterday's Tomorrow. It is written in fiction format, but it is my memoir. 97% of the book is my life. I wrote it in fiction format because as a child growing up, one thing that my mother did do that was great for me was teach me how to read. So 2-3 years old, I'm reading books by myself. And that actually was one of my punishments that I had to go read. So I learned to read very young. I would dive into the characters, and as you had stated earlier, you know, that I would not get a meal on many nights before I went to bed, so I would read the stories, and one of my favorite books was Goldilocks and the Three Bears, and I would become Goldilocks because she was able to get porridge that night. Yeah, so I had porridge many a night, and that was my way of escape. I would dive into the characters of the books, and I would have a meal that night. So it was that was why I wrote my book in fiction format. I wanted people to be able to dive away just for a moment. Although there's a sad story that's in it, there's also survival in it. I do give some tips on just how to get out, but it's basically just a fiction story. It's telling you how about my life, not really a self-help. But, yeah, that was just definitely important for me to get it out that way. There will be a part two coming out here in 2019. I'm super excited about the continuation of book one. And the book can be purchased on my website, on all my social media sites as well, Amazon. I have it in paperback format as well as ebook format. So you can get it on Amazon, you can get it on Walmart. So, yeah, that's my book.
Well, thank you, Danielle. Well, both of us, Mark and Chris, we appreciate your time you've been spent with us. And for everyone
yes,
out there to
we
know,
do.
Male or female, man, if something is going down, go tell somebody. Don't have that pride where you don't want anybody to know that you've been abused. I don't care because, you know, if they got big guys, they got some big women might be tapping that behind on these things.
Yeah.
But tell somebody. But, you know, thank you for being here. We're going to take it up a little Gerald Levert. Everyone have a great weekend. And I want to thank all my listeners that's been tuning in from Nebraska, Florida, and Baltimore. Have a great weekend, and I love you, and come back next week because we got something for you, but I ain't going to tell you. You got to be here to find out. Thank you, Danielle. Have a great weekend, darling.
I'm coming home early, 'cause girl, my body's yearning for what you did last night. 'Cause when you did it, ooh, it didn't make no sense. Girl, you know that you sure gotta look at it, 'cause you got that. Damn, it's too good. I don't deserve it kind of love. The girl I'm calling is sick to work kind of love. The sweaty, funky, dope kind of love. That's what you got. That call of the night kind of love. The girl slow down, I'm about to bust kind of love. The don't stop, girl, get it kind of love. The back it up, break it off, headboard knocking kind of love. What you got? They're calling that kind of love, baby. Wish you could feel what I was feeling. 'Cause girl, when I'm inside you, girl, I'm so complete. So when we're apart, I'm only half the man that I. And it's you that I need, and all of that, and it's too good. I don't deserve it kind of love. The girl I'm calling and sick to work kind of love. That sweaty, funky joke kind of love. That's what you got, that part of the night kind of love. No bad.